Hello, and welcome to Ahead of the Curve, the podcast from Acadia, where we dig deep into the world of derivatives and margin and all things risk management. My name is Scott Sobolewski, co-head of Acadia's Quant Services Division, and today I'm joined by James McHale, head of Acadia's Market Data and Risk Services Operations. In today's podcast, we wanted to highlight for the listeners how Acadia has solved for the market data question in its centralized risk services that we offer to clients for daily risk and margin calculations. Previous listeners to Ahead of the Curve may have some previous familiarity with the Open Source Risk Engine, or ORE, and ORE users or interested parties may realize that the two big inputs into ORE are portfolio data and market data. So while we highlight the history of Acadia's market data service here in today's podcast and some of the relevant topics and challenges that we've solved for as Acadia, I'm hopeful that listeners can take away applications for improving or solving similar questions in their either local installation of ORE or their local management or improvement of their own risk and pricing libraries. So James, welcome.
Thanks, Scott.
I was hoping maybe we start first with some of the early days of the uncleared margin rules. Take us back to 2015, 2016, and when we first started hearing client interest around hosted risk and pricing calculations for compliance with the new uncleared margin rules at the time.
Sure. It's been a bit of a journey to get here. Back in 2015, 2016, the company had only been around, what, 6-7 years at that stage, or he was still really new, but we had a lot of ambition. When UMR really came on the horizon, we thought that it was an opportunity for us as a company to grow, as you know, you were there. But there were a lot of challenges along the way. When we first tried to get into SIM, we were trying to restrict ourselves to interest rates and FX. And we were fairly comfortable there, but we immediately started finding things to improve. We realized that we had a big task ahead of us in getting data from vendors, getting alternative data from to the vendors that didn't want to work with us. And when we finally brought something to the market, started talking to potential clients, found that that scope wasn't wide enough. It was immediately obvious it was going to be a big task. Round about phase four is when it really started heating up, I think. We landed a couple of clients. We'd grown from interest rates and FX to interest rates, FX and credit, with a couple of hacks for some other asset classes, but nothing formal. We'd identified Refinitiv as a strong partner for data. I think it was called Refinitiv at that stage. and we'd also found limitations in what we could get. What would you like to know?
Well, I would say, you know, the company you're referring to, the originators or the authors of ORE originally, the predecessor company that you and I were both part of, Quaternion Risk Management. At the time, we were partners with Acadia well before the LSEG acquisition. So I guess this is two acquisitions ago. The bulk of the code to price and calculate risk sensitivities, for those of you who may not be familiar, SIM, the ISDA SIM model that is the industry standard model for the non-cleared initial margin calculations globally. It requires risk sensitivities as inputs, deltas and vegas. And from a Quaternion and Acadia perspective, that code had existed for many years for the majority of the asset classes that were in scope for UMR. The primary investment that Acadia was making was to transition this open source code base into a production level engine that was to be paired with market data and client portfolio data for daily calculations. And the consumption of the portfolio data was one challenge, you know, making sure that clients got that data to Acadia in the right formats. But I would say from my perspective, the much bigger challenge and the one that you, I'm not sure if you were volunteered or seconded to take on at the time.
Tempted, I think.
But you grew a dedicated team to manage the sourcing and the automation that it took to feed that market data into a risk engine to make these on-demand daily calculations for hundreds of thousands of trades, and even by now,
up to 400,000 trades
a day.
That stage.
And by now, millions that we've processed daily since the end of the phase six UMR in fall of 2022. So maybe from some of those early days, let's say post quaternion acquisition by Acadia, after the identification of the majority of the clients that required us to make those daily calculations, what were some of the asset classes or the market data types that were particularly difficult to source or feed into ORE for those daily calculations?
Sure. So everything has a problem.
Yeah.
that's one thing I've learned over the process.
You mentioned IRFX. That's where the majority of the non-cleared trading activity, I'd say 70 or 80%,
it is,
of the
it
trades
is.
Are in one of those two asset classes, but it's always the last 10%.
Exactly. It's the 80-20 rule. Even if the majority of the client's portfolio is vanilla swaps, vanilla FX options, some of those swaps might be in a weird currency, referencing a weird interest rate that we hadn't encountered before. One of the silly ones that I still don't understand how it hadn't come up was the euro yen TIBOR. We'd been supporting Japanese yen swaps forever since we built ORE in the first place, and somehow that there were two different types of TIBOR had never come up. When we really kicked into phase five, we started uncovering a lot of these things. So USD and euro, we were fine. JPY, extra rates. We had some clients coming in with FX forwards referencing the Egyptian pound. We got a vast array of Eastern currencies. It's the Singapore dollar was much more important than we'd expected. Thailand has had at the time three different families of interest rates. So even in interest rates, we had some trouble. In FX, we were facing client portfolios that were usually OTCs. Maybe some barriers. So from a quantitative point of view, not that hard, but in terms of sourcing market data, a lot more difficult. When you start talking about cross pairs, the data just isn't liquid enough. You can't get the quotes on the market, or at least we couldn't as a non-participant in the market. So we had to develop models to proxy cross pair options, and we did that. Outside of interest rates and FX, when we started getting into the credit space, we found that the market for credit is huge for single names. Nowadays, we support up to 10,000 different issuers or different issuer curves for single name swaps. But at the time we were starting, we were only really expecting to see the CDX investment grade or high yield, maybe an iTraxx here or there. When we started digging into these phase five portfolios, that this was a blocker.
And that's really where the phase five and phase sixes, those types of clients tended to be concentrated primarily on either large buy side institutions or smaller, regional banks globally. And it was in particular, I'd say, the buy side that was driving a lot of the more exotic market data requirements, speculating in some illiquid geographies, let's say.
Yeah.
Perhaps that has necessitated the build out and even some of the investments that your team has made into the automation of sourcing or dynamic configurations, maybe is another way to put it internally.
Exactly, that's where I was going. When we got into the credit market, when we started looking at equities, anybody that's tried to set up ORE locally has encountered problems with scale. Right. How do you set up 20,000 configurations for stocks? How do you support 10,000 configurations for CDS? How do you ensure that your market is built for all of these things and that the performance doesn't suffer? And that was one of the big problems that we had to solve in scaling ORE for our SIM offering, and we did.
And that's, I'd say, a big differentiator between the open source version of Ori and the, let's say, the commercial version that Acadia deploys through its hosted risk services. The existing configurations or sample configurations that you'll find on the open source code base are static, whereas the ones that we use internally, they necessitate a more sort of greater flexibility in responding to what clients decide to submit each day into our service. We don't know in advance what those trades are going to be or which currencies they are going to reference or which stocks they'll decide
or,
to...
Or more importantly, which they're not going to reference.
Right. So maybe you can just dig a bit deeper into... and maybe blend this against maybe what you've heard from some clients who have come to us from maybe some competing vendors on a hosted basis. What makes Acadia unique from a market data coverage or market data automation standpoint? Are there some areas like index decomposition or I know the LIBOR transition is mostly in the rearview mirror by now, but that was a really big project for your team at the time to ensure adequate fallbacks.
I'm not going to say it was fun.
and probably not completely solved for at this point. You know, we still see legacy CSAs that reference stale rates and maybe not have not been fully negotiated or transitioned over to the alternative rates. So maybe between those two or three.
And a few BISBs.
I mean, where would you say, you know, Acadia becomes most differentiated there from the market data service or the market data coverage?
I would say the breadth and depth. The breadth in terms of asset classes. I don't think there's any other vendor out there that's able to service interest rates, including inflation, FX, equities, commodities, fixed income derivatives, and a little bit of asset-backed securities. We cover everything. That was one of the strengths of, that was one of the great things about having to build this out was that we had to be able to support everything. We couldn't just pick and choose what we couldn't, because it's, as we said earlier, the 80-20 rule. If we're able to support all of a client's interest rate swaps, all of their FX, and we don't support their credit default swaps, we can't support that client. If we can support their equity, we can support their credit, and we can't support their commodities, we can't support that client. And because we're dealing primarily with the buy side, we did see this huge variety, and we had to overcome all of these tasks. In terms of depth, the scalability that we achieved, I think, is unmatched amongst vendors for SIM, and I'd say a couple of other analytics too. The way that we built the service out so that it would dynamically just pull in what you needed. If you were presenting something to our service for the first time, something that we hadn't seen before, we built automation that it would get automatically added, that the curves that were needed would be set up, that any new market data that was needed would get pulled in, that if there wasn't market data for something, for example, if you have some esoteric stock out of Finland, that you would get a proxy service at least, so that we could calculate SIM.
And it wouldn't interrupt your daily margin workflows.
It wouldn't interrupt your workflows, and it wouldn't need to be manually inspected or configured by somebody from my team.
Yeah. And rather than maybe in some of the very early days of the UMR go live in 2021, 2022, before some of this automation that we provide now had fully taken form, you know, if we saw that finished stock for the first time, it maybe for that particular netting set, that calculation would have failed. It maybe would have required some manual coverage by either someone on the Acadia operations team or even a client to step in and change the way that they were submitting data into our service. But since then, I know for a fact that the number of failed calculations and the resulting burden on our own client operations team has been significantly lowered, and I'd say for the last 2 years now we're starting to fully realize the benefits of
it. It's remarkable. Honestly, it's remarkable. There was a state at the before the service launched where if a client was testing in UAT and it was a novel portfolio, that there would be an angry email, there'd be a failed calculation, and it just doesn't happen anymore. anything that goes wrong with the service these days, there are obviously some cases where something might go wrong, but the vast majority of problems that we encounter in the service are trade issues, where a client is misrepresenting what they've got, and they're unhappy with the result that comes out. And yeah, I'm pretty proud of what we achieved.
And I think that's a nice lesson for potential clients or users out there. The investment to be made up front in the way that you plan and think about the inputs into a risk library or production risk engine, with regards to portfolio data, market data, and the various kind of ETL layers or adapters that change and transform that data into the right formats, and making sure that the teams supporting the daily operation of those either dynamic or batch services, the more time you can put into planning that up front, it realizes significant, you know, man years worth of savings 1 or 2 years down the line if you can get that automation right. And with regards to the open source risk engine, definitely get in touch with Acadia. If you need to get started, we're very happy to share some of our production configurations that we use in our hosted service that may not be made available on the open source website, but especially for commercial clients of Acadia, very happy to get them started and significant time savings. We're not able to share the market data directly.
No,
that's a big differentiator, but we are able to provide some nice advice based on the 5 or 6 years of learning that we've harvested here in the Acadia Quant teams. So moving forward, James, what's ahead of us from either a market data or operations standpoint? How are we looking to support clients from a market data or automation standpoint moving forward into 2025 and beyond?
So we're at the stage where we've got the coverage that we need. We've scaled everything up that we've needed along the way. It's very rare that a client will come in with an ask that we haven't encountered, or at least that we haven't encountered something very similar. At this stage, we're at the tweaking, right? We're at the point where everything that we've got, we're trying to improve it a little bit, make it as good as we can make it. We're an end of day service, so we have the flexibility to, you know, maybe take a couple of hours for automation to run to optimize our curves, optimize our vol surfaces, make sure there's no arbitrage hanging around. Nobody likes to see arbitrage in their vol. Making sure all of our curves are smooth, commodity forward curves are smooth, equity forward curves are smooth, maybe bootstrap an equity option surface. For the moment, that's what we're up to. We're trying to make it as good as it can be. We're working on some machine learning models, in particular in the interest rate space, lifting some inspiration from Bianchetti, and Sokol, to use some modern techniques that maybe might not have been available to us at the outset.
That's great. And we continue to hear and feel for our clients who want to bring the same benefits of Acadia's hosted risk services to their own local risk and pricing applications through the open source risk engine at a very cost-efficient price, i.e. free, it being open source. But we continue to hear that, you know, getting the portfolio data into the XML format that Ori expects is, like I said at the outset, one thing. The much bigger challenge continues to be the sourcing and the formatting of market data into Ori, especially for use cases that extend beyond the uncleared margin rules. So for every other type of analytic that Ori does very well, but Acadia does not host a daily calculation service for, things like potential future exposure, XVAs, value at risk. You know, what does the future hold there for Acadia trying to make Ori users' lives easier with regards to either getting familiar with Ori or testing calculations in Ori without having to go through the months of effort that it takes to plug Ori into a local market database?
So we've kind of become known as a sim vendor, as the sim calculating company, but a lot of people don't know that Ori did start off as an XVA calculator. The the source code was initially built for a bank that wanted to mitigate counterparty credit risk from a dynamic initial margin point of view. And all of that architecture is still there. And we feel we're at a point now where we have this great calculator that can do all this variety of calculations. So XVA, maybe market risk calcs, SIM calcs, SACCR calcs, PFE. PFE especially is coming up more and more at the moment. Not entirely sure why, but some of the Basel
guidance that came out at the beginning of the year on counterparty credit risk, and I'd say along with Basel III endgame in the US and Europe and the UK.
Runway risk as well.
Yeah, there is definitely, now that the uncleared margin rule problem has been mostly solved by the industry, it seems like there will be a renewed focus on counterparty credit risk in particular.
So I think we're in a great position with this calculator and the market data service that we've built with the breadth and the depth to offer calculations for other analytics. One of the things that we're hoping to develop over the coming months and maybe release into the new year is a hosted notebook service, the hosted calculation service using Jupyter Notebooks. It's something I'm very excited about. I've been an evangelist for using Python for ORE calcs for many years. The idea there is that a client will be able to log in to Acadia's website, to Acadia Hub, pop up a Jupyter notebook that is tied in to our calculating servers and tied into our market data and tied into the configurations that we're using in production for SIM calculations. And with all of these pieces, if they're a SIM client already, draw in their portfolio and use that portfolio and all the rest to perform PFE calcs, to perform generic market risk calcs, to perform SACCR calcs, just to really take advantage of all of the power that what we've got can offer.
So extending the full functionality of ORE?
The full functionality.
Just the 2-3% that's utilized to produce market risk sensitivities or SIM calculations, extending that full functionality of ORE paired with the existing market data service that we have centralized and the dynamic configurations that we mentioned earlier that were built out to support a daily hosted service.
And with the guarantees that we offer for the SIM calculation service, where the market data is held to a good standard, is reconciled every day against counterparty calculations.
It's available really historically back to the beginning of 2008. We often hear from clients that that their market data history needs to go back at least that far, and we know from a regulatory standpoint in the SIM world it does as well, especially for historical VAR calculations or backtesting.
Yep, we have to backtest the SIM model. That is a service that we offer. We have a few clients. don't know if I should say how many. Backtesting their SIM with us every quarter.
Over 30.
Backtesting SIM with us every quarter. And for those backtests, we need data, be it real or proxied, from today all the way back to the 1st of January 2008. That's been one of the big challenges that we've had to overcome over the years.
But now, hopefully a broader client base that extends beyond the UMR world can also utilize that centralized market data service and market data history for any sort of risk or pricing calculation for pretty much any traded instrument or structured product that that ORE supports, into the hundreds by now across all asset classes. I think that's all offered within the same Acadia UI that our UMR clients are used to, alongside all the client support and the guarantees that Acadia has offered and performed well for the market for the last decade, and now as part of the LSEG post-trade solutions family, even I'd say greater synergies into 2025 and beyond potentially. So I think we're coming up on time, James. Is there anything else that you'd like to share?
I'd make one joke. If anybody wants to try and build a market data service for daily calcs for 400,000 trades, good luck. If anybody wants to do that at the same time as building a backtesting service that goes back to 2008, please don't talk to me ever again.
All right.
Once is enough.
All right. And with that, that concludes our time for today. Again, thank you for joining Acadia's Ahead of the Curve, and we hope to see you in a future episode. Thank you again.
Thank you.